Thank you for keeping us alive. Thank you for helping us throughout this past week, taking us through all the activities in our journeys, long and short. Lord, to come into your house, the blessings. Lord, answering our prayers, making real your promises to us on a daily basis. We thank you. Thank you for your cares. Thank you for your healings. So numerous things that you have done for us this past week. We look back to say we thank you. Lord, we are grateful to you. We honor and magnify your name. We have come to your house again this morning. Lord Jesus, as your needy people, Lord, for you are the help of the helpless. We look unto you to meet us at the point of our needs today. As we trust, Lord, as you move in the midst of your people, blessing your people, may you not pass any of us by. We left our homes with expectations in our hearts. Lord Jesus, may we not go back without these expectations being met. The faith we need, Lord Jesus, to be partakers of your blessings, Lord, of Holy Ghost baptism, of healing, of restoration, Lord, of deliverances from all manipulations of the devil, answers to our prayers. We ask, Lord, that you will inspire this faith in our hearts. For faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Your purpose of sending your word to us is that our faith might increase to the level that you want it to be. Let that be accomplished in our lives today, as we ask for mercy for every one of us, that the enemy will not be able to stand against us this morning. I will forgive all our shortcomings, our sins, and unbelief. Lord, may your blood atone for us. Thank you, everlasting Father. And I will commit ourselves to you entirely for the entire service of the day. We pray that your spirit will take preeminence, Lord. Bless us so that at the end of the services, all of us will go back home better than we came here. Because you will have shown your glory and your majesty in our midst and in our lives, Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. When I read to verse 10, as usual, let's have our seat. Then I will continue, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter 21. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which has stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men can't slacken it, but is long suffering towards what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the hearth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, as written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and on stable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. From verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and are faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Lord, bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. By the grace of God, we will continue with the future of home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Last week, we were looking at the characteristics. We started looking at the characteristics of the three stages, where the prophet highlighted in the same sermon. That's the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And in all other sermons, the characteristics are that is how you will know somebody is in this stage. How you will know somebody is in the stage of justification. Or you, rather, you will know you are in the sanctification stage. You will know you are You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. So all these characteristics that will make you to know whether you are at the stage of justification, or you are at the stage of sanctification, or you are filled with the Holy Spirit. All these characteristics are spread across the entire message. But we just pick a few from. If you want to be reading everything there, that means we will remain on that. Praise be to God. We just pick a few from here and there that we feel the Holy Spirit will quicken to give us an understanding. That's what we started last Sunday to begin. Because the prophet said that these three stages are the stages God has chosen to take his people through before he resides in them. The last stage, which is the third stage, is the stage where God comes down to, and then he takes possession in the soul of his elected. The first stage of justification, after repentance, after genuine repentance, then justification. Then after that, sanctification. Then the Holy Ghost baptism. The prophet said the three stages can be completed at once. Does not need to be spread across. And the prophet told us what is responsible for the spreading. The time lag between justification and sanctification, and the time lag between sanctification and Holy Ghost baptism. It is the condition of the heart of the individual. For we see an example on the day of Pentecost, and the prophet said that is the standard. They had the gospel, they preached at their heart, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit after water baptism. And while Peter here speaks in Cornelius' house, and we saw what also happened, the prophet said it was the condition of the heart of the people. So, God cannot be blamed at any stage. Because he made the promise. God was not forced to make the promise. He, because of his redemptive plan, because he knows the only way his people can be restored back to him is to complete these stages, and the last stage is to come inside of the person, which is the period that the person is actually, that is what means that the person is redeemed. Praise be to God. So, by the grace of God, we want to continue this morning. And this may also lead us, if we are able to, God helps us to manage the time very well. We might look at what I call, God defines, God gives the definition of sin. It is God that tells us what sin is. Praise be to God. Let's move on this morning as we go to want to look at from paragraph 89 of the sermon itself, where the prophet was giving us an illustration that what we try to draw on the board. Please, do you have the two hearts where there's a snake and there's a dove? And I drew the third one because I wanted to use that to talk about sanctified heart. Praise be to God. Paragraph 89. Yeah. The prophet says, let me take this board just a minute. Now, here is a human heart. Just display the different heart. All right. These are the hearts that Abraham referred to in this psalm. Here, we have the heart. Okay, let's move forward as we let me read it before we start giving some other. Now, here is the human heart. Here is the human heart, and here is the human heart. Please leave the diagrams. Here is a human heart. Here is a human heart. Two different hearts of two different people. This other one with a snake in the heart is a human being. And let me also draw is a saint. Okay? By God's predestination. I want you to follow me very closely. Don't allow any distraction so that you don't get confused. Every elect of God was a sinner. I mean, everyone that is redeemed today, that is filled with the Holy Spirit today, had this snake in their heart previously. Are you with me? Because if you don't have that in your heart before, then what are you delivered from? What is the essence of justification? What is the essence of sanctification? Everyone that is filled with the Holy Ghost today was like that, but no longer like that. So everyone that is Holy Ghost, who has a dove in his heart or in her heart today, was having this in his heart or heart before. It was because this one to my own left, is it to your left too? To your right. Abi? Yeah. The one to your right is filled with the Holy Spirit. He has gone through justification, has repented thoroughly. Repenting thoroughly means that everything God's word contains, things of worldliness, and that's why we go into God defining sin. Everything that God condemns, you repent of it. Repenting of it means that you are sorry for partaking of it, for doing it. That's what repentance is. You are sorry for doing it. And because you are repenting, you turn away from that, you face another direction. What you used to do, you no longer do. I mean, the way you used to go, you no longer go there. Even though because your nature is not yet changed. Now, this person has gone through repentance and has been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of his or her sins. I want you to follow because I can see how he's going left, right, front, and back. It is not whoever is sitting, taking that position, is not your business. You are already seated. You should not be distracted. I feel disturbed as I see that. That's why I have to say that. It disturbs me as I see how it's going here and there. We are talking about something very, very serious. Whoever is going now, whoever is coming, it's not your business. Look at, listen to what we are saying and look at what we are pointing you to. The prophet had a reason for giving us this illustration. It's for better understanding, not for academic purpose. Someone in this stage that has a dove in his heart or in her heart today has gone through, has completed the process, has been justified after thorough repentance, and I was emphasizing thorough repentance. Is that what you were doing before that you felt condemned about? You turn away from it. You turn another direction. And that's why the Bible says, God's word. The word of God calls for a total separation from every unbelief. And that's why the prophet went further in that same sermon that Abraham did not get the full blessing until he did what? Until he totally separated from every unbelief. It was when he got separated from Lot that God came to him and he finalized everything for him. This other person is just beginning, the one to my right, which is to your left, that has a snake in his or her heart, is just beginning the journey. He might not have repented. I want you to get that very closely. He's coming with this. And hearing the gospel, if he's content, genuinely repenting of the wicked ways, whether he was influenced or whatever has led or could be intuitive influence upon him. It could be his own nature. It could be an influence. It could be the inside of him that will suggest some things to him. And then he responds. You could. So, After hearing the gospel, he repents or she repents thoroughly and has gone for water baptism. This snake is still in the heart of that person. This is the somebody that's in the stage of justification. Are you following me? This person has repented. The person having a snake in his or her heart has repented, has gone for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, but he still has the snake in the heart. Let's go forward. See, the reason this has to be talked about is because the earth that we are now is going through the same process. Before God and his bride will finally settle here. The prophet told us that God cannot come to this earth in this in his filthy form. He has to sanctify, he has to justify it first, which he did in the antediluvian by setting the flood to give you water baptism. It is the prophet of the age that can interpret that. That is his domain. That is his office. We are coming to something. I just pray that this time we are neighbors. Because this is my last Sunday school for this period. I'll be traveling for about 2 weeks. I won't be around. So, you'll be hearing the remaining announcement later. So this person has repented. He's still like this. So let's move forward.
Here is a human heart and here is a human heart. Now, this one over here has a snake in it. That is sin. And here he has his life.
He has his life that influences him. He has his life there. Well,
this one here, he has malice, hatred, envy. That's what the cursing is in this fellow here.
That snake. He's a justified person.
He has malice. He has hatred. He has envy. And like I said last week,
Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 is in him or her. Romans chapter 1, if you go to some, maybe from the middle, you read all that the Bible talks about.
In the, and the rest of the scripture that talks about sinful nature,
it is the snake that is generating it. The person has malice, has hatred, has envy. That is what is causing it, is this fellow snake. Here, the person is full of, you know, the Adamic nature controls him.
When this one over here has love
and joy and long suffering, and that's what does see the dove, which represents the Holy Spirit. And now, when you are forgiven, and now when you are forgiven of your sins, you have only done this, taking that away. That is the sin that you have committed. God has taken that the sins you have committed away, the sins of the past. Like we said in the other.
Cancel. Just Christ atoned for this.
At repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus,
sins, according to the scripture, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins.
That is why I was saying that the essence, as the prophet has taught us, the essence of baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins. And that is why anyone who is never baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, their sins are still unremitted.
They can perform signs and wonder, they can do miracles, they can preach, they can do every other thing, as you see them in the denomination. Somebody might feel that someone is embarrassing people.
I said it before, if Pastor Adeboye has not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in the light of the scripture, his sins are still with him. I'm not the one that said it is the scripture. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For remission of sins. They baptized in the title of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I was in redeemed. I was baptized in the title of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I came to the message to come and be baptized. When my hands were open to know that, jumping up and down, my sins are not remitted. God forbid. I will not continue with that. So, the sins of the past of that man that has repented and is baptized in the name of Jesus have been remitted. Jesus Christ paid the sacrifice. And the prophet said, now, this is a justified person
that we are looking at.
This person at this stage, the prophet said, anytime he sins, he has to confess it.
Has to confess the sin he committed.
Before the blood will
be applied to cancel it.
If the person does not confess it, it's there. It's in the record again. Against the person. That is why we thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ.
That we never lose its power until the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more.
So it is the efficacy of that blood, the blood that is still effective, that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, that
cleanses the blood. I mean, that cleanses the sin of that person. It's not by fasting, like some religious people do, fasting for 30 days in a year.
You are just deceiving yourself. You are just suffering yourself. Atonement does not come by the works of man.
It is only by the redemptive program of Jehovah. And that is through the blood. And the prophet told us that, like we have read initially, that whatever God did for the first time, will forever be doing.
So the first man in the Garden of Eden, the first couple that he atoned for,
it was by the blood.
So every other person on the earth today, want their sins remitted, has to be through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the blood of ram, or goat, or fowl. No, when you are forgiven of your sins, you have only done this, taking that away. But the thing that made you do it is still there. You see, that's the whole root of evil. It's still there. Notice then, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that he forgave you of your sins.
Praise be to God. So let me look at this again.
So I will
leave this now. Then I will move on. So God defines sin. Just trusting that. When we're talking about sin today, according to Romans chapter 7, verse 7, it is not what human beings call sin that God calls sin. God that gave laws to guide human's life defined sin. And the Bible says, until the law, there was no what? No sin. Sins were not reckoned to human beings. But God came and he said, thou shalt not do this. He defined what is sin.
In Romans chapter 7, verse 7, let's have that.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. But I had not known lust, for I had not known lust except the Lord said, the Lord has said, thou shalt not covet. Do you understand that? You will not have known lust. What lust is, except the Lord say, you shall not covet. So, you wouldn't know what adultery is, except God defines what adultery is. We won't know what lie is, until lie is defined. Like the prophet told us that lie is truth mistold. It's truth mistold. What is unrighteousness? Righteousness perverted. Alright? Now, when it comes to definition of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God himself, the Lawgiver, defines sin. Just like we said last, maybe the upper
two Sundays ago,
where Jesus Christ magnified the Lord. It has been said of them, you have heard that it has been said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill.
And Jesus went further to say what it means. Because then you have to physically take a knife or a cutlass and cut somebody until the person dies.
But Jesus Christ said, no. Now, in the time of grace, he magnified it. And he furthered the definition. Of course, if somebody, that does not mean that if somebody carries cutlass than a kiss, that does not mean it's not sin. But it was, further revelation was given. On what killing is, what murder is. You understand that? Further revelation was given on the meaning of to murder.
It's not until you carry cutlass and kill. He said, now that is in Matthew chapter 5, verse, let me see where this is. All right, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22. And unless I want to look at this interpretation briefly. Matthew.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of the judgment.
But I say unto you,
but I say unto you,
the Lord himself,
he never said, thus saith the Lord. He was the one that gave the first one, and that's why he can give further revelation. That this, but I say unto you, does not cancel that other one that he said. He gave further revelation. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now the prophet, who also had a ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated to restore the full world back to us, because he has the ministry of infallibility, the power to interpret the scripture was given to him.
Oh, Jehovah Almighty.
Now, from the Hebrews book, Hebrews chapter 7, verse part 2. And you people with this, the prophet was answering, he read that part, that same scripture. Now, he said, now, see this legalistic law. The law said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. He said, Jesus turned right back and said, it is said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, is everyone who is angry with his brother without a cause has killed already. It is said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, let me pick the one that he talks about killing before I come to that of adultery. Yeah. Now, paragraph 349 of the Hebrews, part 2. 5709:22 in the evening. And you people with these sore blade tempers that are always spouting off in the mouth at somebody. Please get it. 5709:22. You are that you and you people with these softly tempers that were always spouting off in the mouth at somebody. 5709:22 here.
Yeah. You are the one I've been waiting for, because I want them to see.
And you people with these softly tempers that are always spouting off in the mouth, just few minutes, please, at somebody, can't put up and things like that. Be careful. You are guilty if you speak a word against your brother that is not right. Not just go around and tear down it. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him. Kill his influence. Speak against your pastor here. Say something bad about him.
Sorry.
Say something bad about him. You just might as well shut him. Told somebody that wasn't right about him. Told something that wasn't right about him. Well, it will kill his influence with the people and things like that. And you are guilty of it.
What Jesus said.
The prophet further interpreting that killing is not necessarily taking knife and stabbing somebody. Jesus Christ said, fool, you say raka, and you are hanging without a cause. And the prophet, who also has the mission for infallibility, that has the power to interpret scripture, to tell us that it means that if you say bad thing about your brother, you are killing him, you are a murderer. Now, the way this what sin is interpreted, you have to follow the prophet to understand what sin is. Trousers wearing, they call it, makes women look very what? Smart. They are smart in wearing trousers. That's not what you hear everywhere. And some people say that it's even better for women to wear trousers than men, because it covers them better than men. That's the argument they put out there. But what does God say about it? No matter how cute they look, how pretty they look to the eyes of the world, the Bible says it's an abomination. God says it's an abomination to him to see a woman in trousers. And then the denominations, you have interpreted that scripture away and tell them that you are looking beautiful in there. It is the Old Testament. You don't have power to interpret that scripture.
May the Lord be our help.
Sorry,
I'm taking the time.
God bless you. Let's bow
down our heads.
Bless the Lord, we thank you again this morning for giving us another opportunity to sit at your feet and to learn more of you and your program concerning mankind. We are very grateful for the portion that we have heard. You have spoken to us. In the course of your speaking, you have talked about, you know, two people that have two different hearts, one is snake, the other one is dove. Lord, all those things are illustrations that your prophet has given unto us for better understanding and revelation. May you help each and every one of us. Whichever stage we are, O God, we look unto you, that you further your work in our lives. You have taught us through your prophet that this future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the heavenly bride is a prepared place for a prepared people. Lord, you that prepared that place, may you prepare us, your people. Whatever we lack, may you supply, Lord. Make us ready for that place. May the preaching of your word not be vain in our lives. Bless the servant that you have used and replenish him for the virtues that has left him. We look unto you for more of your blessings in the next services ahead of us. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray.